talking with one of my not next door neighbors, but another neighbor that I've known for a long time since our daughters were in high school, and they were out walking their dog and stuff like that. And you know, they ended up saying to me that, you know, what we were talking about, they ended up complimenting me in the process. And you know, sometimes just by your existence, sometimes you can be a blessing, not by necessarily the things that you do, but the things that you don't do. You know, I don't know, but if I wasn't robbing my neighbor's house, that would be a blessing to them. And I'm not robbing my neighbor's house. And so sometimes you can be a blessing just by being a good neighbor. And so I want to encourage you, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and ask God, God, how can I be a blessing? How do you want to use me to be a blessing to the people in my life? So today we're going to go back to Psalm 99. Psalm 99. We were in a different psalm yesterday. But today we're going to be in Psalm 99. Yesterday, I believe we were talking about that justice is a foundational issue. That it is very, very important. I'm going back here to get my notes. Yes, we were in Psalm 89 and Psalm 97 yesterday. That justice is a foundational issue. And so I went home and I was talking with my wife and, you know, and began to share with her. And we made the same journey in our private conversation that we did on the radio program yesterday morning, and that is that justice needs to be the foundation of a life, of a home, of a relationship, of your finances, of the way that you think. Justice needs to be foundational no matter what is going on in your life, no matter how large or how small. Justice has got to be foundational there. So today we're going to turn to Psalm 99, verse number 1. We're going to read this entire psalm today, all 9 verses of it. And it says, "The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies in the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were to them God who forgives. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." So there are several truths that are mentioned here in Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. He dwells between the cherubim. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all the peoples. He is holy. The king is strong in verse number 4. He has established equity. He is holy again. He answers in verse number 6. He speaks in verse number 7. And verse number 6, he calls out to them. He gives in verse number 7. He forgives in verse number 8. And he is the God who avenges in verse number 8. And it concludes with this statement, "For the Lord our God is holy." Okay, so we need to make sure that we remember the proper perspective of God. He reigns. So when we talked about that justice is the foundation of his throne, and that he reigns, and he reigns sovereignly. He reigns without question. He reigns in every realm. He is unquestionably the authority in all of the universe. He is great. He is high. And it says, let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. And so I encourage you today, as you are beginning, if you want to start your day a little bit better, start praising God. So my wife gets up very early, very early. She likes, back when my daughters were living at home, the three of them would get up, and all of them wanted it quiet. They all had their places, and they would go to their place, and they would have their time with God to prepare them to go to the workplace and things like that. Now the daughters have gotten married. They've moved on and moved out of the area. And my wife still likes it very, very quiet. And so she's positioning herself. But sometimes if you start thinking about things throughout the day, those things can creep in and they can begin to alter the desired launch of the day that you had in mind. Well, praise brings us back to that place where we see the greatness of God, the goodness of God, and what God wants to do to us, through us, and for us on a particular day. So begin to praise him because he is great, he is awesome, and he is holy. Now, verse number 4 begins to describe what this particular psalm has to say about God and justice. It says, the king's strength also loves justice. The king's strength also loves justice. Conversely, injustice weakens a throne. Injustice weakens a throne. You know, the scripture says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God will not be mocked. He is not, even though we live in an age of grace, he's still holy. He still has a standard. A lot of people have a misconception that because we live in the age of grace, the standard of righteousness and holiness has been lowered, when in actuality, the standard has been raised. We now have a greater revelation. To whom much is given, much is required. We have a Savior who's interceding at the right hand of the Father. We have a Holy Spirit who is empowering us and revealing to us the will of God. We are without excuse when it comes to living our life in a manner that is pleasing and holy and acceptable to God. So I want to encourage you to see that justice is not something to be feared. When you are operating from a position of strength, of might, of power, and in fact, this word means strength, it means force, it means security, it means boldness or might or power. It also has an element of praise. When you are living from a position of strength, you will also live a life of justice. If you are living your life in insecurity, if you are living it in fear, if you are living your life from a position of weakness, then you are going to be much more susceptible to the influence and intimidation of injustice than if you are operating from a position of strength. We are living in a day and time where society really does not like people operating from a position of strength, unless it is them operating from a position of strength. God says his strength is made perfect in weakness. If you were to read the letters of Paul, you would see that he went through something and he implored God to take it away. And he said, my grace is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So he it's not that he is tolerating weakness. He is empowering us so that we live our life from a position of strength. Men, I want to encourage you. Get to know God. Get to know God's word. Get to know God's people. Become the person that God encourages you and desires for you to be. Women, do the same thing. A lot of people think that there are individuals that are intimidated by powerful women. I don't believe that that is the case. I believe that people are have a uncomfortable aspect when anybody of strength operates kind of from a bullying tactic or an overpowering. I'm saying men or women. That's not what I'm talking. In Ephesians it says you are equipped with the armor of God. Stand therefore. Whatever you do, stand. It is a position of strength that comes from God because God's throne is established on justice, and because of his strength, he loves justice. He loves justice. Now, it says he is the one who established equity. Okay? That means that there is equal treatment of people. I've heard it said that it is level at the foot of the cross. Every person has to come and put their faith in Jesus Christ. You and I, it doesn't matter where we were born, when we were born, doesn't matter what the bank account looked like or whether anybody else knew our name or not, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That sin treated God in an inequitable manner. It did not treat him in a manner that was equal to the praise, the worship, the honor, the reverence that was due his name. Sinning is an injustice against God because he does not deserve for us to treat him that way. But God is the one who established that system. If you have a problem with justice, if you have a problem with treating people equally, then you have a problem with God because he's the one who established that sentence or that concept. He said, you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. So not only has he established it as a foundational principle of his throne, not only does he love it, but he has also served or executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. That doesn't mean that he took it out back and killed it. That's not what that word execute means. It means that everything he does operates in justice. Everything he does operates in righteousness. Everything he does, he operates in love. Everything he does, he operates out of the nature of who he is. Now, verses 6 through 9, Psalm 99, verses 6 through 9, have some very interesting statements. And so, and I'm going to focus on one in verse number 8. And bring that into perspective with the fact that God's strength loves justice. He says, Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. How'd you like to be in that group? Okay, that's a pretty good group when the Holy Spirit is inspiring the author of Psalm 99, and says, look, Moses, Aaron, and Samuel. Two of them were priests, one of them was a prophet, but they were among those who called upon his name. I don't know about you, but I think that group needs to be bigger. I know that group in reality is bigger, but you and I, we have the same access that they have. Because of the work of Jesus, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. We can call upon the name of the Lord. And in verse number 6, it continues, they called upon the Lord. So here we see that he is the Lord. In verse number 1, the Lord who reigns. He is the King who lives in strength. He is holy. He is the one who is called upon. He is the Lord. So he reigns. When it says they called upon the Lord, it is they were calling upon the one who was the highest authority in the land. Moses and Aaron appealed to the Lord who was more powerful than Pharaoh. Samuel called upon the name of the Lord. He was a miracle child, but he did not grow up in an ordinary home. Okay? His mom was Hannah. She was unable to have children. She went to a feast and she was just overcome, ended up in a place of prayer where she was doing a lot of weeping. Eli was the prophet or the priest, and he came and he was the priest, and he thought that she was drunk and encouraged her and implored her to, you know, get rid of the wine. And she says, no, you don't understand. I'm here out of tremendous personal pain. And he prayed a blessing over her and that God would bless her. And God did. And he gave her Samuel. And she had committed to offering Samuel as a servant of the Lord for his entire life. He was raised in the temple by Eli. His mother would come every year and present gifts. And so if you think that you cannot get someplace because of the home life that you grew up, Samuel is proof that that is not necessarily the case. God is the Lord over, you know, normal families, functional families. God is also Lord over dysfunctional families, over families with challenges and strongholds and problems. And you can call upon him. And just like he answered them, he will answer you. So when they called upon the Lord, verse number 7, it says he spoke to them and they kept his testimonies. Specifically, it says he spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. So specifically here, he's talking about Moses and Aaron because that took place during the wilderness wanderings. And so whenever God speaks, it is going to call for an action or a response on our part. And whatever he says, because he reigns, because he's holy, because he's the King who reigns in strength and loves justice and equity and operates in justice and righteousness, and he's worthy to be praised. Whenever we call upon him and he speaks, we need to respond by obeying the things that he tells us to do. Are you ready for this? I just love this. Verse number 8. You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives. The Hebrew transliteration there is L-E-L, and then N-A-S-A. You are the God who forgives. Some research said that not only is he the God who forgives, he's the God who forgets. Now, I want to tell you that we're going to be here on tomorrow's broadcast. We're going to be talking about another psalm where it pretty much itemizes the things that the people did in the wilderness wanderings that were wrong. Every sin that they committed against him, every time that they complained. There were a number of instances where when that happened, and you say, well, how can he be the God who forgives and yet he still spells all of that out? It means this, that he is not holding the charges that have been forgiven against us any longer. Instead, he operates with forgiveness. He also operates with justice. God's mercy, God's forgiveness does not violate his justice. I believe that that what happened with the devil's master plan of crucifying Jesus was that he was unaware of the code of justice that God had established that talked about God's grace and his forgiveness, and that he shed his blood. He was the scapegoat. He was the sacrificial lamb. He was everything that fulfilled the law and the prophets. And when it was fulfilled, it was the first, when Jesus lived his life and died and was raised again to the third day, he fulfilled everything. What did he tell John the Baptist? You've got to permit this so that we can fulfill all righteousness. Down to the most minute detail, Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness so that in justice, God could manifest that he is not only the God who is holy and the God who is just, but that he would manifest as well that he is the God who forgives. You were to them God who forgives. How is he to you? How is he to you? I literally worked with a person one time who did not believe that God could forgive them because of all of the sins that they had committed. Now, I will tell you this, that mindset is actually a form of pride. Well, yes, I know that Jesus died on the cross. I know he shed his blood and he forgave but other people have sinned in such a manner that I exceeded their sin capabilities. Even the blood of Jesus is not sufficient to forgive me of my sin. That is a lie. Okay? So I want to tell you that I have a mindset when it comes to people who are... Now, I'm not talking about people who make a mistake. I'm talking about who intentionally, purposely set out to misrepresent the truth, and they do it through lying. When that happens, I look at them, and it's not that I'm not willing to be a person who forgives, because I want to be a person who is forgiven. But when that is their day in and day out form of operation, I say, I'm not going to believe you. If they told me the sun was coming up and it was coming up in the east and setting in the west, I wouldn't believe them, even if it was true, and it is true. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to verify it myself, because everything they have told me up until that point in time is a lie. I don't give any credibility to people whose lifestyle is a lifestyle of deception. And so when the devil comes in and he tells me, well, God can't forgive you, I say, you're a liar. His declaration doesn't line up with the declaration of the Word of God. And so therefore I say, you're a liar. God's true. God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Okay. Now let me, since the clock is ticking away here, let me say this. You were to them God who forgives. though you took vengeance on their deeds. Now, one of the things that we don't often talk about is you can be forgiven and still experience consequences. You can be forgiven and still experience consequences. I heard Robert Morris telling a story about a dad who was a hillbilly, and they didn't have indoor plumbing. They had an outhouse, and he had four big, strong boys, and he called them together, and he said, now, boys, I got a question for you. Which one of you four picked up the outhouse and threw it into the creek? And they all denied it. And he said, now, let me tell you about George Washington. George Washington, his daddy had a cherry tree, and George Washington chopped down that cherry tree. And his dad came and said, you know, who chopped down that cherry tree? And George Washington said, I cannot tell a lie. I chopped down the cherry tree. And his paw didn't whoop him because he told him the truth. And so, now, which one of you four, you know, threw the outhouse into the creek? And one of the four raised his hand, and he took him out behind the woodshed, and he, you know, gave him a whooping. And he said, well, I thought you said his paw didn't whoop him. He said, well, George Washington's paw wasn't in the cherry tree when he chopped it down. You know, God loves to forgive. God is a God of justice. God is a God of strength. He is able to forgive. He is able to bring about justice. But many times, we may experience some of the consequences, not the eternal consequences, but we may experience some issues with life that God says, I want to make sure you never make that mistake ever again. God loves you. May he be to you today the God who forgives and the King's strength who loves justice. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Listen, all you unborn children, and those yet to be born again, a seed from the God of heaven was planted here in the world of men. He grew up only to be broken. He grew up only to be buried. Hold on, I heard the prophet say, hold on, that's not the end. 'Cause when the cross went up and the curtain came down, a hush ran across the stage. But when the stone was rolled back, all the angels came round and the earth stood up on his feet to say, crown him love, crown him alive and well, crown him God of our salvation. Crown him lovely, crown him beautiful, he is God and we adore him. La 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 la, we adore him. Listen, all you unborn children, and those yet to be born again, a seed from the God of heaven was planted here in the world of men. He grew up only to be broken. He grew up only to be buried. Hold on, I heard the prophet say, hold on, that's not the end. 'Cause when the cross went up, curtain came down, A hush ran across the stage. But when the stone was rolled back,